Hey, Sharnold?
Yeah, Zach.
I have a question. I'm looking for something very specific with Marvel Comics. We've talked about a lot of different kind of tropes and cliches. But when I want a hero, are there any heroes who have a relationship to Egypt but are also Jewish and insane? I know it's three very specific things, but do you think we got anybody who can hit all three of those specific things?
I can think of at least two.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Doombots podcast. We're the Doombots. I'm Zach.
And I am Sharnold.
And on this podcast, we usually like to just take Marvel Comics and just fuck them all up and ruin the shit out of them. Spoil them.
Because we hate them so much.
Normally, Sharnold disagrees with me on that, and he tries to correct me and say, no, we just spoil them. But this week, I feel that Sharnold is going to actively try to ruin Moon Knight for me.
All I have to do is tell you about it. Well, like, and it'll automatically be ruined because it's bad.
So we're talking about Moon Knight. Now, if you don't know who Moon Knight is, that's also me. But he's my favorite. And I think he's my favorite because one time I had a toy of him when I was a little kid.
That'll do it.
And I did not know who the character was. One of my friends once told me that he was sort of like Batman. But
that is a thing that lots of people think.
I don't feel that tracks with everything that I've learned about him.
You'll see the similarities when we get there.
Got it. It's a weird choice, because Batman dresses in all black, mm-hmm. and Moon Knight goes for stark white in the mm-hmm. middle of the night. But I guess it's because he's supposed to look like the moon, right?
He wants the bad guys to see him coming. He wants them to be afraid.
Okay, is that Batman saying that? So, because I had a toy of him, this little action figure, he was just, like, my favorite. Mm-hmm. But then I didn't, like, proceed to ever read anything about him or learn anything about him or read a single comic about him or even do a cursory I just remember him being Moon Knight and thinking that looked rad.
Yeah.
And there were many opportunities to read Moon Knight comics, because some of my favorite writers have written Moon Knight comics.
A lot of really good writers have written really bad Moon Knight comics.
It's yeah. Like, back when I was on that big Warren Ellis kick before... Yeah.
Before we learned things that we can never unlearn.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I think Warren Ellis did some Moon Knight runs.
Yes.
And I was like, there's no way those can be bad. But I just figured, like, man... Maybe I don't want to ruin the mystique. And then we found out that Oscar Isaac is going to be playing Moon Knight mm-hmm. in this new Disney Plus series.
Which, and if I figured, our timing is right, premiered this week, I believe.
Ooh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense, because that's how we would schedule this.
It is, yeah. Like 3 months ago when we sat down and did our scheduling, that's why we decided to do Moon Knight now.
That's a super good point.
Yeah.
So, now that we've gotten the whole fact that Sharnold detests Moon Knight out of the way, he's going to explain to me why, and also who he is, and what he is, and everything about him, and let's go.
So my first introduction to Moon Knight scarred me from the get-go.
So you're set to dislike him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I had his card, and mm-hmm. I want to say it was the 1991 Masterpieces
set. So it's probably 1992.
Probably, because as we learned, I get my years wrong on Sharnold those for some
has
reason.
All of them off by 1 year, and then demands that all of the images on the internet are wrong, and that his memory is more correct than concrete evidence to the contrary. But anyway,
it's
proceed.
Some sort of elaborate scheme.
Okay, so that one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's 92. That's 92.
Damn.
That's 100% 92.
Damn.
It even says 1992 on the card. Like, right there, right under his name, Moon Knight, is the word 1992 Marvel Masterpieces. So, but that is not a great card.
But that's the 91 set.
they drew him with, like a big old belly. Like, look at that. it looks like he's doing a fucking... Well, it looks like he's doing a belly flop into a pool. This is real bad. We have to do an episode, maybe a video episode, about the cards. Because some of them, the art is inexplicably terrible.
Yes.
And some of them, the art is amazing. Like,
some of them are the greatest art of the universe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. But, like, okay. I don't know if there's any card that looks as good compared to how bad the worst cards look. Like, there's no card that I've marveled at its beauty more than I've marveled at the terribleness of some of the art.
Yes.
And almost all of it's of Cyclops, which I don't understand. Anyway, okay, sorry.
So also it's a common, and so it would be like in every pack, and I'd be like, not another stupid Moon Knight. So I've always hated him.
Because he just flooded your packs.
Yeah.
You didn't ever want to like, I want to like learn who this is or anything about this character?
No, I never did.
Did he pop up much in any of the stories you would read?
That's the thing. He never did. The way that I learned about Moon Knight was in preparing for this episode, I went back and read the last 10 years of Moon Knight comics.
Jesus Christ.
And I still don't like him at all.
I mean, okay, here's my question about Moon Knight.
Yes.
Other than one time when you blew my mind with something, with just gibberish nonsense about Khonshu or whatever.
He appeared in Jason Aaron's Avengers run, which we briefly talked about at the end of our Avengers episode.
But I feel that he has come up in conversation and in all of our discussions of comics the least of any character who was a major enough character to have their own Disney Plus series.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting because it feels like, I feel like everybody knows Moon Knight through either like a toy they had or a card they saw, but not ever from a comic that they read.
Yeah, well, they also know that Moon Knight is Marvel's Batman.
Right, but then no one can explain to me how that equates, because like from literally everything I've seen, other than he's out at night, Batman does not have any superpowers. Batman does not have... Neither does Moon Knight. But he does. He
so totally doesn't.
But I thought he's powered by an... I thought you said Egyptian that. God. You said
I know,
that.
I know. So inconsistency would be Moon Knight's superpower.
There's a great cottage industry of people who Photoshop fake Moon Knight panels.
Yes.
There's one that really always gets me, and we'll put it up on the site, but it's two goons coming up to Moon Knight. And they're like, careful, I hear this guy always comes up with random bullshit. And then the next panel is Moon Knight just like throwing Ankhs and like scarab beetles out of his like, go, random bullshit, go. It's like, yeah. So inconsistency. See, Batman is very consistent in regards to like his power set. A little less so in regards to whether or not he murders or whatever. But
so one of Moon Knight's alternate identities.
See, there's another already. Stop. Full stop. Batman doesn't have those. I mean, he's got an alter ego, like a secret identity and a real identity.
Right. But he doesn't have DID?
No.
Not that we know of.
Okay. Sure. Fine. Sure.
But so Stephen Grant is one of Moon Knight's alternates, and he is a billionaire. Billionaire.
He's a billionaire. he's got a billion ore. I get that.
He's a billionaire, and he uses his money to buy crime gadgets like the moon-shaped batarangs that he throws at people, and he's all about vengeance in the night.
Moon-shaped batarangs? Moonarangs. Yeah. Did he call them moonarangs?
No, I don't think he does.
That's a missed opportunity.
I don't remember what they're called.
Also, that is a perfectly acceptable... No.
Because they're like throwing stars with their moons, so they're stars.
That's thematically confusing. Okay, I think we're going to need just like an introduction.
Here's what I hate about Moon Knight, is that nothing that he does or nothing that happens to him is real or matters, because the next person who writes him is just going to be like, oh, but we changed our mind and that was all just him having a psychotic episode and or being delusional. And now here's this different version of Moon Knight. Go.
Okay. That being as it may, I need some general introduction to his character. disregard your own your own anger towards the ineptitude of him as a functional Marvel character, and give me some
like basics. Who is he? Okay.
Yes.
So in 1975, there was a, what's the word?
Person. Lizard.
Like something that is unbelievable, like kind of uncanny or I don't know.
Phenomenon?
There was a comic that everyone loved that no one understands that I...
What is happening tonight? Are you okay?
I tried to.
I feel like your rage is overtaking. Because, like, this character cannot be that hard. Like, you had such a great breakdown for the High Evolutionary, inarguably the stupidest, craziest fucking character we've ever talked about on this show.
Yeah.
And you broke that down just fine. And he had animal people on fucking floating bikes covered in knights in shining armor. No problem with that.
Nope.
Moon Knight cannot be more complicated or convoluted than that, nor can he be more inconsistent than that. They had the High Evolutionary turn into like a protoplasm god and then just not anymore.
Well, Moon Knight was a guy on the moon and then he wasn't anymore.
I'm sorry, what?
we'll get to the moon later.
Wow, there are so many great sentences that come up sometimes, and we'll get to the moon later is a really fucking great sentence.
Yeah.
We'll get to the moon. I can see that on a t-shirt. We'll get to the moon later. Was that a NASA reference? Nope. Nope. No, it's not.
It's a Doombots podcast reference. It's a
Doombots podcast reference.
So in 1975, there was a comic called Werewolf by Night that was amazingly popular. It was a super popular comic book, and I don't know why.
Stupid fucking werewolf.
No. And in issue number 35.
Inexplicable.
That's the fucking word I was trying to think of.
Yep.
Yeah. So in 1975, there was this inexplicably popular.
We're keeping all of that. So, just take it again in case, but that was actually all pretty good.
In 1975, there was this inexplicably popular comic called Werewolf by Night, which starred a werewolf who would
during
turn into
day,
a werewolf.
The badly named comic.
And in issue number 35, he was being hunted by a mercenary named Mark Spector, a.k.a. Moon Knight. And
feels like a bad person, like...
Because of Moon?
Yeah. Like, they both have moon powers, sort of.
And so, the committee...
I'm assuming that's, like, the group that hired him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just the best name for an evil organization.
The committee. You know what's wrong with the committee? It sounds too collaborative for an evil organization. It sounds like they take votes on things instead of just they're like being an evil person who like dictates. Like the agency or the firm... The committee.
Yeah.
So they have a great dental plan. It's like, fucking what?
They gave mercenary Mark Spector some moon-based weaponry.
Okay, hold on. What? What is moon weaponry?
Moon-themed weaponry.
Okay.
So like throwing stars that are shaped like a crescent moon.
Okay, so not like... And like it's not like moon powers.
No, it's okay. They're just... They were made of silver, though.
Sure.
Like,
why not? He's a mercenary?
Yeah.
Why not just give him a gun with, like, silver bullets in it?
Because it was 1975 and he was fighting a werewolf.
Well, when you put it like that, I don't have an argument for you. Hey, guys, I know that we could kill this werewolf pretty easily with, like a gun, but it's the 70s and cocaine is...
Very yummy.
Very good. So let's give him moon shit. Just, like,
yeah,
well, silver and, moon shit.
And, like, a moon copter.
It's like, why moon? Why do you want moon stuff? I don't know, because he's like a werewolf. So there's like moons. Right, but the moon makes him powerful. Yeah, but like moons. It's like, you don't want to do a second pass on this thought? Like, we could give
first,
you a gun.
First thought, best thought.
First thought, best thought. I heard werewolf. I thought moon. Moon Knight. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, you're the hitman, I guess. Let's do this.
So then... Mark Spector / Moon Knight.
Hey guys, I'm the accountant for the committee. I feel that our overhead for R&D on moon shaped weapons is just really an unnecessary expense, guys. Like, I feel we could save a lot on our quarterly reports if we just use like normal knives. Like, I get they have to be out of silver because we're a committee that hunts werewolves. But, like we spent so much money trying to make sure that they're shaped like moons. Like, I feel we would just save a lot of money by just giving them, like, a knife and a gun.
Also, couldn't moons just be circles?
Yeah.
Like, why does it all like have to be crescents? It was all crescents.
Well, because if you gave him a full moon, then he'd turn more into a werewolf. I'm telling you, it's first thought, best thought. Oh. You're absolutely right. It's just he heard wolf, werewolf,
and moon.
Thought moons. I'm fucking committed to this.
So anyway, he learns that Werewolf by Night slash Jack Russell is...
Shut the fuck up. I've told you this before. And I still stand by shut the fuck up. I still stand by it.
So the guy who named him Jack Russell, the guy who created it, Jerry Conway, same guy that killed Gwen Stacy. Not like Norman Osborn, Green Goblin, that killed Gwen Stacy, but like the writer
I got what you meant.
Says that it wasn't intentional in any way, and that he doesn't own a dog, and he doesn't know a lot about dog breeds, and like he also doesn't think it would have been subconscious because of that, and that's just too weird to be true.
That's dumber than it being a bad pun.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess it wouldn't even be a good pun, though, because it's a wolf.
Yeah.
Like, so it's not...
You don't think of Jack Russell Terriers as, like, vicious wolf dogs.
But it is still just dumb.
Yeah.
And being accidentally dumb is almost worse than being intentionally dumb.
Yeah. So anyways, Mark finds out that Jack is just a poor cursed guy and not like an evil werewolf, and so they team up and take down the committee.
I thought he was hired by the committee.
Yeah, but, you know...
Full stop. Full stop. Sure.
He's not a very good mercenary.
That's right. Like, did they try to, like, double-cross him or anything?
No, he just found out that Jack Russell's not such a bad guy, and so...
let me go kill my employers?
Yeah.
What a shit mercenary.
He wants to keep his moon stuff.
Okay. Was it just a long con on his part? Okay. I want to have a moon-themed character, but, like, this shit's expensive. I'm going to dupe a hitman agency into hiring me and then convince them to spend a bunch of money on moon shit. Then I'll have my moon shit and I'll kill all of them. That is so convoluted.
Retcon, that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
The retcon, because Moon Knight turns that he's a hero, and so like what was he doing being a mercenary? Oh, he was trying to infiltrate the committee, and so he was pretending to be a mercenary so that he could get expensive equipment from the committee and then use it to destroy them.
You're not kidding right now.
No, that was... Once he got his own comic, that is how they retconned his first appearance.
I thought you were playing into a bit. I thought this was a joke bit that you were playing into the thing I said, where he duped a place into making his weaponry for him. That's a real thing.
It's a real thing that happened.
But I said it as a joke because I thought that was too stupid to possibly be a real thing.
But they wrote it as a retcon. So, you know... now it happened.
But like, just have him infiltrate it to like bring him down.
Well, ultimately that's what he did.
Yeah, but no, he was in it for the moon shit. Okay, so was Mark... Okay, we gotta stop. There's no way this is gonna work as a narrative.
Well, so that's okay, that's
how he's introduced,
who he is. Okay, but not at all. Yeah,
because so...
Let's...
He has... One thing we have to get established, because this is the part that throws me for a loop.
Yeah.
He has dissociative identity disorder, or colloquially known and incorrectly known, multiple personality disorder.
Yeah. Whether or not he has DID, schizophrenia, brain damage, or is just, quote, crazy.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Depends on who's writing it and which comic we're reading.
Sure. So he's got multiple personalities.
Yes. So
Mark Spector is one of them, or Mark Spector is the primary personality?
Mark Spector is the name he was given when he was born.
That's what I'm asking. Yes. I was literally going to say what's on his birth certificate.
who is primary changes sometimes.
Sure, sure. But I meant like before he started developing new personalities.
Right.
He was Mark Spector. Spector.
So the DID started coming in. Because of just fucking nonsense. Okay, look.
Okay.
All right. My name is Moon Knight, and I'm gonna hunt down the bad guys. So
I need a way to find the bad guys. I know what I'll do. I'll pretend to be a cabbie named Jake Lockley, and he'll get in on the underground, and passengers will tell him things, and street-level criminals will open up to him, and then I'll know who to kill.
Okay.
So now he has two identities.
I have so many problems. But that's not identity, that's an alter ego.
He was pretending to be this person. And yes. Then he's like, wait a minute. I also need like a shit ton of money because of all of this moon stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I will also pretend to be a movie producer named Steven Grant, who makes really popular TV and makes tons of money investing his profits from the TV.
You can't just pretend to be rich and then have actual money.
But he did. He did it, Zach. That's what he did.
No. Stop. Full stop. No. That's not how money works. None of this is...
Mark Spector was a mercenary at one point in time.
Okay.
And he did make some money.
Sure.
And then he invested that money well and used the profits from that investment to make movies under the alias Steven Grant that were successful enough that he is now rich.
Okay.
And that's where some of the comparisons to Batman start to come in, because Steven Grant is a richo.
Okay, but hold on. So far, all of these are intentionally fake alter egos.
Yes, but then it turns out that he gets so deep into character that he can't keep straight who's real, and is he Jake Lockley? Is he Steven Grant? Is he Mark Spector? Or is he Moon Knight?
Well, that's just Jared Leto. It's just... Okay, but that's not what DID is.
So that developed into him not being able to tell the difference. And so each of those characters developed their own distinct identity that became DID. And then in a much later series, one of the therapists that he was going to mentioned how that's not how DID works.
Yeah.
and that those characters wouldn't exist unless there had been previous trauma. And so then we get a nice flashback about how Mark Spector was abused by Nazis when he was a kid. and that trauma is what first manifested the Steven Grant personality, who he thought was a neighbor kid that he was playing with.
Okay, so you brought up Nazis.
Right, well, because so he's Jewish. He's the son of a rabbi.
Okay.
And where there are Jews, the Nazis won't be far behind.
Oh, okay. I don't think that one fits onto a t-shirt quite as well. Oh, God.
I mean, let's put it this way. Any protagonist that is Jewish will eventually have Nazi enemies. That's kind of inevitable.
Sure. But World War II Nazis?
Yes. Yeah, so his dad was in Germany in World War II. They were part of an enclave that were escaping. And so a Nazi named Ernst pretended to be a rabbi named Yitz Perlman and escaped with them.
Okay.
And so Mark grew up with Uncle Yitz, the friendly rabbi who's friends with my dad at the church.
Jesus Christ.
And then one day he went down to the basement at an inopportune time.
Oh my God.
And found Rabbi Yitz torturing some people. And then he tried to kill him, but he got away.
Okay, hold on. We need to stop for a second. I get that sliding time exists, but this time frame would put Mark Spector well into his, 80s?
So, here's how I'm justifying it.
Oh, good.
Young rabbis, 15-year-old, maybe 20-year-old rabbis.
Don't think that's a thing, but okay.
In the 40s, escaped, and then had kids late when they were like 50. So they had kids in the 70s. And so then that makes Mark just a little over 50. Which he's still not, but
hold on. So he wasn't alive during World War II.
No, his parents were.
Okay. I mean, that time frame still seems real off, but okay. So he's 50?
I agree. No, he's definitely not. Okay. I mean, maybe he's 30. Like, how old's Iron Man? I don't know.
40, probably.
So Moon Knight could be that old.
In his 40s. Okay. Okay. So, I mean, once you bring Nazis in, it kind of... So he was traumatized by the Nazi thing.
Right.
And then developed DID.
That's when he started to develop DID. And apparently he...
Like repressed that?
Well, he spent a lot of his childhood in a mental institution, but doesn't remember that. And then he joined the army, and that's where he got a lot of his training. But they kicked him out because they found his mental records. And so then that's when he became a mercenary. And then this is sort of where his story starts. Because all of that was retcon.
Right, of course.
But as a mercenary,
yeah,
he finds himself in Egypt.
Okay.
Working for a guy named Bushman, who is one of the most racist characters, but I guess it's okay because he's a villain.
But oh, he is racist.
He is a black villain named Bushman.
I don't know if that's okay.
Who's from Africa.
No, no, that's not, no, that makes it more racist.
And it just happens, what retcon, his actual name is Raoul Bushman. But his villain persona is Bushman.
Okay.
Because he's African.
Sure.
And okay. So they're working together on a job. And
in Egypt.
In Egypt.
At least they got the continent, correct? I mean, Egypt is in Africa.
It is, yeah. That's an Egypt fact.
Yeah. I'm trying to make this better, but it's not going well so far.
And then Bushman betrays their whole set of people that are there. So there's like a archaeologist, and they've recently entombed this temple to this old Egyptian god of the moon named Khonsu.
Okay.
And
this
so...
This is starting to sound familiar, but I feel that everything I understand about this is going to not be true.
And so Bushman wants all of the riches for himself, and so he kills the archaeologist and is like, I'm taking the money. And then Mark Spector's like, no, stop being a jerk. And then he kills Mark Spector, and then he runs away with all the money. And then something debatable happens.
something debatable happens.
What an
unusual turn of phrase.
Depending on what year it is and who's writing the story,
oh God,
through some means or another, Mark makes his way or is taken by either a group of Khonsu cult followers or Marlene, who's the daughter of the archaeologist, into the Temple of Khonsu, where he either is still barely alive and begs for Khonsu's forgiveness, or is brought back to life by Khonsu.
Okay.
And so here is part of why I had a hard time enjoying a lot of Moon Knight comics.
Oh, is it because it so far sounds insane and bad?
A lot of the attempt to make drama is based on the idea that maybe Khonsu isn't real and maybe Mark is just crazy. But Khonsu is objectively real. He's one of the gods that exists in Marvel, and I have known this since I started reading Moon Knight comics.
Sure.
And so that always just felt...
Well, but hold on. Hold on. A god being real in this universe and that god actually bestowing powers on somebody are different things. The debate might not be whether or not Khonsu is real, but whether or not he was actually saved or in some way impacted by Khonsu.
Yeah, but that's not how it's framed.
Oh, okay. Well, that's how it could have been framed. But also, why not just make that the thing? What additional drama do you get debating whether or not he really has powers or not? Why not just give him powers? It would make the moon thing make a lot more sense.
Yeah. So as far as I know...
Side note, how many times have I asked you angrily, like with a lot of venom, why don't they just give them powers? I feel that is like almost a leitmotif for the entire series that
yeah,
we do here.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of things that would make more sense if they were just some sort of... ability, right? Like
yes.
Superhuman ability, like rather
Mysterio
than
Mysterio or Bullseye or Moon Knight.
So as I understand the truth of what happened and not the mystery debate that winds its way through the comics.
Okay.
Mark died.
Okay.
The cult of Khonshu dragged him into the temple. Khonshu revived him, brought him back to life with magic, and said, "You're going to be my avatar in this world. You are now Moon Knight, the Fist of Khonshu. I am the Egyptian god of the moon and vengeance. And so go get on that vengeance thing, my Moon Knight."
That's great. That sounds great. Doesn't seem like you need to complicate that. It seems like that could be a great origin.
And yet.
So, you could have that and still have all the multiple personality shit.
Sure. But it just, it was just never handled well.
Like, why don't they just revamp it? Right? And keep them crazy.
Uh-huh.
That's fine. You could make it so all of the personalities think they are Moon Knight.
That would be interesting. So the other thing with his particular mode of multiple personalities is that they have a lot of conversations with each other in his head.
Oh, so they do know about each other.
They all know about each other, and there's only one instance that I know of something being hidden from the rest. And so Marlene, who's the daughter of the archaeologist who was there when Mark first died, but doesn't believe he was brought back to life, just thinks he was only kind of dead. You know, okay. like you do. Becomes his long-term, off-and-on girlfriend. And then after they break up, Jake Lockley and her have a daughter that Mark Spector, Stephen Grant, and Moon Knight don't know about.
Okay. Hard stop. No, that wasn't an okay, like, let's proceed.
Oh.
I know my okays sound the same, and I say them a lot, because sometimes I just don't know how to deal with this. But this needs to be examined.
Okay.
Let's say I'm Marlene.
Hi, Marlene. Nice to meet you.
That's your Mark Spector voice? No, and I've been dating Mark Spector.
Mm-hmm.
Does she know about his multiple personalities?
By the time she and Jake have a kid, yes, she knows everything.
Okay, so does she know
and they
that
have,
she's still having sex with the same physical person?
Yes.
And she doesn't find that off-putting at all?
I don't know. It didn't happen on screen.
No, but
like,
no.
Like Mark shows up. So the bad guys hunt down Marlene, even though they've broken up. And so Mark shows up to save the day. And there's a daughter there. And Marlene's like, "It's Jake's." And Jake pops up in his head and he's like, "Yeah." And Mark is like, "That means it's mine."
Yeah. Yeah, Mark.
Yeah. So that's so we would like.
But like, there's,
like, that's the extent of it.
But that is crazy. That's weird. That's You're so right. weird.
You're right.
Why would she? Why? Why?
I don't know. I can't tell you the answer
need
to
you
that
to
question.
Just make up an answer then.
Because we never saw Jake come back to Marlene and be like, "I know that you and Mark broke up, but I, as Jake, would like to still have a relationship with you."
If you're Marlene, how do you not just think... Sure, Jake.
So Mark shows up to save the day, and the daughter is like, "Wow, you sure look exactly like my dad." And Mark's like, "Oh yeah, I'm his brother, Uncle Mark."
Okay.
So that's that. What was the point of any of this?
I don't fucking know.
Sometimes the identities are aware of each other, and sometimes they are not.
Maybe they just have like conversations in a mind space.
Yeah, I mean, that's frequently what it is.
So I can see why they would lie to each other if they weren't. It's sort of the same in Doom Patrol, the way that a lot of Crazy Jane's personalities are depicted.
Yeah, yeah. So
but, here's... I have another question really quick.
When he switches...
Let's take Crazy Jane as an example from Doom Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
When she switches personalities, mm-hmm. it is at random with not no control, but little control. I don't even remember, but we talked about how there was the conductor who like ran the train and all that. So, you know, in a pinch, if she's in a fight, she can let one of the more violent personalities come out. And as soon as she switches, she physically transforms into a different entity, basically.
Right.
With Mark's personalities, does like his persona change? Does his... physical appearance change?
So his physical appearance doesn't change at all. His persona can change depending on which personality becomes dominant, and how that happens changes a lot. For a while, three of his alternates were Wolverine, Captain America, and Spider-Man.
I'm sorry, what was that?
For a while, three of his alternates were Wolverine, Captain America, and Spider-Man.
Fucking what? What do you
mean? For a while.
What does that mean?
So, like, in his mindscape, whichever one is in charge can talk to the others. Let's say Mark is the dominant personality. He can have a mind conversation with Jake and Grant and Moon Knight. Moon Knight, who is sometimes Khonshu. And so, again, it's that debate, like is that actually Khonshu, or am I just crazy? And then there's also the debate, how schizophrenic am I? Do I actually see these other people talking to me, or am I aware of the fact that this is me having a conversation with myself? And at one point in time, he believes that three of his alternates are Captain America, Spider-Man, and Wolverine, and that they have come to help him be a good Avenger in Los Angeles. And from time to time, one of them will take control, and he
does
will
he then
use
find it
their
weird that
fighting
he can't
style.
Pop claws out or shoot webs?
He has them. So he got an ex-SHIELD agent named Buck Lime to...
Okay, I apologize to whoever named Jack Terrier. Or Jack Russell. Yeah. Jack Terrier. Buck Lime is... I don't know if I hate it or if I love it. I think I hate... Oh, I don't know. Buck Lime. What a fucking crazy name. That's one of those names that's so crazy that it sounds like it's a real name.
Yeah.
It's like, this name is too fucking insane to not have actually been someone's name.
Yeah.
Buck Lime.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So Buck Lime built him these arm devices that had claws, web shooters, and a digital Captain America shield, so he could kind of switch back and forth and stuff.
What is a digital Captain America shield?
It was made of, like, lasers.
Okay,
like,
no, never fucking shut up. I guess this is the case with a lot of people whose identities have been built up over such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with the High Evolutionary, the amount of craziness makes sense because he only shows up every now and then.
Right.
And it's almost like they've built a character where they can just do insane shit.
Right.
But with Moon Knight, it feels like he would benefit from a massive stripped-down reconsideration where you just took
Absolutely.
Him and you just... simplified shit a little bit.
And I think it looks like that's some of what they're doing with the show. So, like, one thing that they never did with the multiples that would work really well is, while you're Moon Knight, now all of a sudden you're Jake Lockley instead, and Jake doesn't know how to fight, right? And so
See,
now you're in the middle of
like
the fight.
That's what it looks like the comic, the TV show
That's what
does.
It looks like the TV show is doing.
And that also feels like the only reason why, narratively speaking, a character with multiple personalities would make sense.
Yeah.
Because that's, again, with Crazy Jane, not to go back to that, but there are times where her personality shifts are very unhelpful.
Right.
Like when she's Baby Jane and she suddenly doesn't know how to fight and she's scared of everything. And you're like, no, monsters, big monsters. do the other one. Do the one that shoots the fire from her face. And she's like, no, I don't. And you're just like, what the fuck? But like, that's a great idea. Like, he's Moon Knight 1 minute, and then the next time he shifts, and he doesn't know where he is or why he's there.
Right. And then when he goes back to Moon Knight, he's just in an apartment, and he's like, damn, I was so close. What happened?
That's fucking fantastic. That's a great idea. And that's kind of what I thought the character was. The fact that you can have the characters talk to each other is so stupid. Just have them be alter egos that he... intentionally switches between.
Right. Well, because, and that is how they started.
Yes. Yeah, because so. That, well, I'm not going to say it makes sense.
Well, again, yeah, the, like, why he needs the three different people, why he can't just be Mark Spector who makes movies or like.
Yeah. No, but it's such a good idea to have him not control the switch, because then you have that weird narrative tension that you get with like Spider-Man, where he will be in a situation where he is Peter Parker, but then there's something happening and he has to balance like having these powers against trying to not let anyone know.
Right.
But you'd have that times a thousand. Like Jake Lockley should be driving a passenger and then suddenly he's Stephen Grant and he doesn't understand why he's in this car.
Yeah.
Or he should become Moon Knight and just gets out mid-pass. And then Jake Lockley doesn't have a fucking cab anymore.
Yeah.
Like, there should be a stakes to the personality switch. If they all know each other and collaborate, then just make them alter egos that he can opt to switch between.
Yeah. No, that would make more sense.
Like, one or the other. Having it midway just feels lazy and needless.
And that is a problem that comes from... He has never had a successful series. I mean, sort of in the 80s, he had a 60-issue run, which, that you know, that's pretty successful. But most of his runs are more like 10 issues before it gets canceled, and then there is no Moon Knight for a few years. And so every time a new writer comes on, they sort of try to figure out what they want to do with him, and it just kind of makes things more complicated. And
or
like,
here, hold on. I just thought out how to fix it.
Yeah.
Khonshu takes over when he wants to.
Yeah.
So Moon Knight is not a personality.
Uh-huh.
Moon Knight is just Khonshu. Possession.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time he's not Khonshu anymore, every time he wakes up from being Khonshu, he doesn't know who he's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he's someone different.
And he's someone different. And maybe each of the personalities could even know, like, they see that someone else is operating their body, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and that there's this other personality that can be dominant. And so they know of each other's existence, but they can't communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, each one could still be up to date about what's going on in the life of this body.
Right.
But they never know which one's going to, like,
take control
of the car, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have to take a backseat when Moon Knight's in control. And then maybe Khonshu is way more comfortable with doing horrible shit to people. And they just have to sit there and watch it happen.
That would be cool.
And also deal with the ramifications of someone seeing them do it. Like, all of that's kind of neat.
That's
and it also make that scene where Jake has sex with Mark's ex-girlfriend a lot weirder. A lot weirder. Mark's like, what the fuck is... What? No.
Another problem with Moon Knight stories is the way that Khonshu is handled, and what he wants is just changes on whims. And so, like, for a while, Khonshu does give Moon Knight powers. He gains strength based on the phases of the moon, but then one of Moon Knight's alters kills a guy, and Khonshu's like, no, now I'm taking your powers back.
Why?
And then later, Khonshu's like, I need to take full control of your body because I want to exist in your plane of reality. And Moon Knight's like, no, I reject you. And so Khonshu's like, well, then fine, we're not friends anymore. And
Khonshu sounds like a sassy bitch.
But then he dies, and Khonshu brings him back to life again. And then Moon Knight's like, so am I immortal? And Khonshu's like, no, I'm not just going to keep doing this forever.
So who is Mr. Knight?
Oh, how do you know about Mr. Knight?
I've seen a comic with him, like a couple of panels of a comic with him. And I've seen also, like, there's a new design.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be on the show, but I don't know.
Yeah, one of the images on the show looks like Mr. Knight.
And it's Moon Knight, but without the...
He's just kind of dressed up snazzy. Egregiously
giant cape.
Yeah, he's just kind of in a white suit and a full face mask.
Yeah, so is he different than Moon Knight?
No, that is not a different alter. That is just how he dresses when he wants to be civil with society.
So
he calls himself Mr. Knight, and he dresses up nice, and he has a place called the Midnight Mission, and that's where part of his thing is that Khonshu, being the moon, is all about guiding lost souls at night, and so he creates the Midnight Mission so that people who are having trouble at night can come to him, and Mr. Knight can go and solve their problems.
Okay, here's the thing that makes me crazy.
All of it?
Yeah, well, yeah, all of it. But more than all of it, you have a perfectly interesting enough character with a mercenary who was brought back to life by an Egyptian moon god and has moon-based powers and wants to help lost souls at night and operates under the purview of that moon god, and his alter ego, his real personality, is a mercenary who is possibly looking for some sort of redemption for his actions.
That sounds great. Let's make that character.
That's what I mean. Like, everything else, it just feels like hat on a hat on a hat.
And at one point in time, he had settled up with his different alters, and they had agreed to kind of go away. But then a new writer came on and was like, nah! And that
I want to do this, like, bad thing happening. Badly again. We fixed it, let's break it.
And so right now, actually, the current Moon Knight series is my favorite so far.
I feel that bar is real low.
Well, yes, it is very, very low. So in Jason Aaron's Avengers run, Khonshu sent Moon Knight to go steal Iron Fist, Doctor Strange, Ghost Rider, Black Panther, Phoenix, and Starbrand's powers because he wanted to fight Mephisto. And the other guys weren't doing it well enough. And so Khonshu was going to take all their powers and do it himself. And so the world entered the Age of Khonshu, where there were pyramids and sand and mummies all over the world. Because he sort of succeeded in conquering the world. And he was fighting Mephisto, but new Mephistos kept popping up from other realities. And and Thor. Thor. That was what we had talked about before, where Uru...
Which is the rock made of... Moon rock.
Yes. So Uru is the first moon died, and that is what Uru is. And that's
and
what
Uru makes up Mjolnir.
Right. So Khonshu can control it because it is moon based. He can't lift it, but he can control it, like telekinetically, basically.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So Black Panther eventually is fighting Mark Spector, and he's like, you got to stop Khonshu.
But so is Khonshu evil at this point?
No, he just took over the world because Mephisto, he knew that Mephisto was up to some real bad and he wanted to stop him. And he needed the extra power to do it. And then Mark was like, good point, T'Challa. I will go stop him. And so he did. And so Khonshu is now in God jail on Asgard.
I mean, God jail is a great prog rock band from the 90s, God jail.
And so Moon Knight is feeling kind of alone and disconnected.
Does this Moon Knight have power?
No. But the cool thing that has happened is that we have met a guy named Dr. Badr. It's B-A-D-R. So Badr?
Bader?
But I don't, maybe Bader?
B-A-D-R, Bader. Probably Bader.
Bader. And he is... the other fist of Khonshu.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because two fists, right?
Yeah. unless there was an accident or some sort of thing that ended in a workman's comp situation. But yeah. Generally speaking, people have two fists.
And so he comes up to Mark and is like, I can't believe that you betrayed our god and let him get put in jail. And also, why don't you have all of the special moon training that Khonshu gave me when he made me a fist? And Mark's like, And so
it's so great when you have a character react the same way that a reader reacts to those same questions. I don't know. Yeah. That's a good point. Why don't I?
And so the two of them are sort of becoming frenemies as Mr. Knight tries to protect the Knight. And my favorite Moon Knight supporting cast character. That's another thing. Like none of his supporting cast or rogues gallery are cool.
It sounds like he doesn't have enough time for a rogues gallery because there's just too much shit going on.
Yeah. But, so, vampires.
I wasn't expecting that. I mean, moon makes sense,
as,
I guess.
As but... a protector of those who travel at night, frequently, who he has to fight off as vampires, right? I mean, right?
It makes a lot of sense.
But there's a bunch of kids, well, like teens, who just got turned into vampires. And Moon Knight decides not to kill them because it's not, like, really their fault.
Yeah.
And one of them becomes his assistant.
Well, because in this Marvel universe, vampires aren't immediately evil, are they?
Vampires are nothing if not inconsistent.
Because Morbius is a vampire, right?
Morbius is not technically a vampire.
Isn't he a living vampire?
He's a living vampire.
Okay, fuck off. I know, we're not doing this. I get it. It's fine. He's different.
But yes, these particular vampires, they are not immediately evil. So his assistant, Reese, is a new vampire who's very sassy, and I like her a lot. And that's part of the conflict between Moon Knight and... He's called Hunter's Moon, Dr. Badr, the other fist of Khonshu. He's like, you got to kill the vampires. And Moonlight's like, nah, she's cool. So, you know, it's not impossible to tell bad stories. It just, they haven't. You mean good? It's not impossible. It's
very, very possible to tell bad stories.
It's not impossible to tell good stories with Moon Knight. They just historically have forgotten to do that. I forgot to mention because it didn't go anywhere and was completely meaningless and stupid. But one of the more cerebral comics that was strongly about.
There's a whole comic just on Cerebro? Sorry.
I mean, probably.
Yeah, it's true. Anyway, sorry, Cerebral Comics.
Cerebral Comics that was more about the different personalities and what is real and what is not. And is he insane? Is he just a person in an insane asylum who has imagined all of this stuff? Which, again...
It's a little tropey, but...
Well, and
he interacts with other characters.
It never appealed to me because I knew that he's not. So what is this pretense for?
Well, also, but other characters and other situations have dealt with him.
Yeah.
So unless they're all crazy... Yeah. That doesn't really work. But anyway.
Anyway, one of his alternates was a knight who was fighting on the moon, and they were sort of the last hope of survival against the invading space werewolves.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. That does sound too cerebral. That's a good point.
Well, it was just one of his alters. And so sometimes he would switch back and he'd be like, here I am fighting in space against the werewolves who are trying to destroy the last bastions of humanity on the moon. And then he...
Wait, what?
But none of that was real. That was all just in his head when they were trying to make readers think maybe he's crazy.
That should have been the whole comic.
I know, right? That would have been awesome.
But he's just a Blade character, but for werewolves.
Yeah.
That would have been fucking rad.
Yeah. In space with lasers.
Yeah. I love that. Just that. None of the other stuff. But I mean, the other problem with a character like Moon Knight, especially if he doesn't have powers, but in general, if he doesn't have the powers and he's just nuts... Then from a character standpoint, how is he, what does he add that you wouldn't just get from any other street level, defender level superhero?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he's just strong and fights bad guys at night, that's just every non-cosmic vigilante superhero.
Yeah.
It's just Daredevil or whoever.
Yeah, or Punisher.
Or
Batman.
Or Batman. No, I agree. But that's why you don't throw in the question about whether or not he's got moon powers. You just give him the moon powers.
Yeah.
Take away the billionaire thing, because you have that with Iron Man already.
Mm-hmm.
There's just infinite ways to make it better. But do you know what the most frustrating part about it is? Other than all of it?
I don't. I can't even guess what you think is the frustrating part.
Let's say you come up with a perfect fix.
Uh-huh.
And then someone else writes it later. And they go, oh, all that stuff? I liked it more the other way when it was fuck balls crazy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to retcon it again. But that might be good for the TV show. Because if they establish a standard in the TV show, it feels like they've been sort of taking a cue from their shows to adapt the comics.
They absolutely have. Yes, whatever happens in the Moon Knight show, I guarantee you that version of Moon Knight is what Moon Knight will be like once the show is over.
Maybe in the comics?
Yeah, maybe not immediately and maybe not exactly, but they are definitely frequently change the comics to be more like the MCU.
Right.
Okay. Like all the time.
In this case, that might not be a bad thing.
I agree. Like the trailers for the show look good.
Yeah, I mean, Oscar Isaac's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah.
I wanted to also ask you about one other thing. Oh, yeah.
I forgot. The villain that Ethan Hawke is playing.
Yes.
Is a nobody that showed up in two issues, and he was, like, creating a serum that could heal people, but then it went, like, he was giving it to people even when they didn't want it, and so they had to stop him, and they did. He's like an absolute nobody.
But that also, that's a tabula rasa, kind of like a...
Exactly,
yeah. They can do whatever they want with that character. And yeah. That could be great. I mean, Ethan Hawke's a fantastic actor.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I'm very excited for that.
I think he could play a great villain in that role. So that could be really great.
Mm-hmm. Should we spin the Wheel of Segments?
Yeah. Yeah, let's spin the wheel of segments and see what happens.
Okie dokie.
And, oh, hey, we got Comic Spotlight. We haven't done that one before, I don't think.
Maybe no. a long time ago? I mean, not ago? That I remember, but to be honest, I've lost track now that we're nearing 50 Ooh, episodes.
Something might be going for that, although I don't know for sure because I can't remember, but maybe.
I mean, I certainly have plans.
Oh, I'm going to get beaten in an alley with a bag full of doorknobs.
With 50 doorknobs.
50 fucking doorknobs. I'd like to see how hard you can swing 50 doorknobs. You know what? Fill it with 50 doorknobs and let's see what happens. No, so...
Or 50 bags with each with one with doorknob. One doorknob.
You get one hit from each bag. So in Comic Spotlight, what we do is I would like to share with you a comic that I have become interested in.
Oh.
This is a comic that just went off the ground. I believe it's only in its fifth or sixth issue.
Okay.
It's available for anybody who wants to read it, the issues on Hoopla. Although they don't
love Hoopla.
They don't have a collection, like an omnibus yet. So it will be 5 of your 12 monthly downloads if you want it.
Mm.
But it's called Eat the Rich, which I absolutely love.
Delicious.
It's from Boom Studios, which mm-hmm. was not a company that I'm super familiar with, but if it's not Marvel or DC, I'm not, or Valiant, I'm not super familiar.
They're medium big. They're like third or fourth or fifth, depending on the month.
Got it.
So wait, for those who don't know,
Dark Horse is their own.
So it's probably Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, Boom, Valiant.
Vertigo?
Vertigo is a DC imprint.
Oh, okay. Dark Horse has to be pretty big, though, with like Hellboy.
They for a very long time, were the third biggest.
Yeah.
But Boom and Image have, in more recent years, given them a run for their money on a month-to-month basis, depending on what's doing well.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, Eat the Rich is one that I've been reading recently. The art is fantastic. It's written by Sarah Gailey and drawn by Pius Bach. Probably... mispronouncing all of those.
That's a great name.
But the story is something I love, which is rich people are evil.
And well, that's not a story.
It's a theme. The theme it touches on. Well, it's kind of the story. Basically, to spoil a little bit, spoiler alert on the beginning, although it's worth a read even if you knew everything that happened. This girl is traveling back to her boyfriend's, to meet her boyfriend's family. The boyfriend comes from a crazy old money wealthy family. The girl does not. They both went to college together. They've been dating for a long time. And this is the first time she's meeting her boyfriend's family.
Mm-hmm.
They are all very wealthy. And she goes there and the boyfriend's all nervous and he's uncomfortable being back home. He hasn't been home in a long time. It's the first time he's sober. She's just overcome with anxiety about meeting everybody. When they get there, there's servants. The house is like this sprawling estate on the beach. And they go to this, I think it's like a 4th of July dinner. And it's basically supposed to be the Hamptons. And all of these rich people are there. And they do this roast. They call it the roast. It's like a comedy roast where they like make mm-hmm. fun of somebody. And they're making fun of this housekeeper who is there, who's retiring. And so they're like roasting the housekeeper.
In a fun, like, wink and a nod, happy way.
Yeah, yeah. Until she goes out back and then she sees the housekeeper running across the sand and her boyfriend's dad chasing him down with a knife and murders him. And then they cut his limbs off and throw him onto a barbecue and the rich people are all cannibals.
And they're literally roasting.
Literally. And so she finds out that her boyfriend's family and everybody else in this community eat the help
mm-hmm.
when the help are set to retire. So she freaks the fuck out. She has befriended the nanny for her, I think her boyfriend's sister, for the daughter of her boyfriend's sister. And right. The nanny basically tells her, like, no, we know this is going to happen. Like, we signed a contract to work here. She's like, but why would you do that? And it turns out, like, the nanny has rheumatoid arthritis and, like, a bunch of lupus and, like, all these health problems. And she was in constant pain and she couldn't afford healthcare. And so the contract is, like, you can have the best medical care that is available to humans. You will be happy. You will be well taken care of. You'll get paid a lot. Like, you will have full benefits, full everything. And eventually we'll eat you. But until then.
But also kill them and then eat them.
Yes. But it's like, it's basically like they know it's coming and they were going to die eventually either way. And so they can at right. least live a good life until their retirement age.
Makes sense.
No, it's insane and horrible. But the girlfriend doesn't really know how to deal with this and is morally conflicted. And then has dinner with the family. And so she cannibalizes. Like, she eats this meal, prepared meal. And it's all presented like it's a beautiful steak. Then there's a little bit of a supernatural element to it, although it's not overt. Mm-hmm. But once they take that old trope of you get the hunger.
Yeah.
And so now that she's eaten human flesh, nothing else will sustain her. And so she's part of this family because she has to eat people or she will starve. And it's such a great metaphor for wealth. Like, she doesn't want to, but she feels reluctant in the way that people have to participate in a capitalist society, but she doesn't want to. But the other people are voracious eaters and they love participating in the society. And it's such a, I wouldn't say it's a subtle metaphor. I mean, the name of the comic is Eat the Rich. Do you know, by the way, do you remember what the full phrase was where that term comes from? I know you've heard that term before. Eat the rich, right?
No, eat the rich because they have barbecue sauce.
Yeah, that was it. I don't know. You nailed that one.
No. Eat the rich, drink the poor.
No, no. The full phrase where that term came from, because I'm sure you've seen that term on like protest signs and shit like that, right?
Yeah, it sounds vaguely of familiarity.
Okay, it comes from a saying, when the poor have nothing left to eat, they will eat the rich.
Mm.
Doesn't that sound good? It sounds tasty.
That would be great, except instead, if the poor try to eat the rich will murder all of them.
I mean, the French Revolution happened.
Yeah, but they didn't have as good of guns back then as they do now.
They
legit, 2 AK-47s, and the French Revolution is put down.
Unless the protesters had AK-47s as well.
Well, but if the protesters are poor, then they don't. That's not the problem.
That's not the problem. It's America. Everyone has a gun. That's not the problem. The problem is our money is digital. In the French Revolution, I could just take your gold.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a good comic. You should read it if you get the chance. The art is fantastic. And while we're doing a spotlight, I just wanted to... do you know a writer, Jeff Lemire?
Jeff Lemire. He wrote one of the Moon Knight arcs that I was talking about.
Really?
The one with the space... The one in space.
Oh, see, I love that.
Yes. He's also the guy that did Sweet Tooth.
That's how I know. So for Image Comics, mm-hmm. he is writing an ongoing series I was not particularly attracted to. And then I got through the first omnibus of the first like 16 issues. And
now you're
in. I'm so far in. But it's called Gideon Falls.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great one to check out. Also on Hoopla. Another one that's so good by Dan Waters. And it's from, again, Image Comics, and it's called Homesick Pilots,
mm-hmm.
and it's about a grunge rocker girl in the 90s who goes into a haunted house, and then the haunted house sort of possesses her, and then she becomes a pilot for this sentient moving haunted house to fight a monster made out of VHS tapes. It's so fucking good. It's unbelievably good.
You think some of the shit we've talked about on this podcast is weird.
No, it gets weird. Well, once you involve ghosts, it's sort of like, okay, anything can happen now, which is why I love ghost stories, because you can just change all of reality.
When you have shorter stories that are set in their own universes, you know, you can do something crazy, and it doesn't feel as weird when it's the premise of its own story and not part of a larger tapestry that's supposed to take place in our world.
Yes. No, exactly. Because you don't have 900 years of past comics to integrate them into.
Like Chew is insane.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel insane because it is tonally consistent with itself.
Chew, also available on Hoopla.
Yeah.
By the way.
One of the best comics of all time. I mean, so all of Marvel is the best comic of all time. And then Chew's like number two.
Chew's with Transmet, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Chew is among my favorite reading experiences of all time. Just other quick, real quick recommendations. James Tynion, the fourth, as you demand, I say, despite the fact that there are no other famous James Tynions.
I know who he is.
He writes a series called Something is Killing the Children.
Mm,
that's about...
It's me.
It's... Oh, God damn it. It's got monsters. It's great. And then Al Ewing.
We know him from Immortal Hulk.
He is writing a really, really good series for Boom,
mm-hmm.
is We Only Find Them When They're Dead.
Mm.
And it is about a space crew that harvests the meat from interstellar giants' corpses that are floating in space. And it's about, like, this crew that has to, like, get the it's all about the politics of getting licensing to harvest the different organs and bones from these for interstellar, like, meat companies and stuff. It's so interesting. It's like about resource harvesting, but it's really, really good. Yeah. So that was the creator spotlight for this episode, I guess.
Yay. That was cool. We should do that more, I think,
because as much as
I am obsessed with Marvel comics, there are a lot of other comics that are really good and worth talking about.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Doombots podcast, where we talked all about Moon Knight, and yet I don't feel that we really explained anything at all.
I mean,
I think we, no, but yeah. Here's the thing. I also think we explained it the best it could possibly be explained, which says more about Moon Knight than it says about us.
You probably know more about Moon Knight than you did when you started listening.
100%. I definitely know more about Moon Knight, and yeah. I kind of liked the character that I had in my head about who he was before I learned anything about him, but we'll see if this Oscar Isaac show changes that.
Yeah.
If you guys want to ask us any questions, if you disagree with our take on Moon Knight, if you think he's just the best, you're
then
wrong.
Then you can go to hell.
But you can email us at doombotspod@gmail.com. Hit us up on all social media at doombotspod, Twitter, Instagram,
Facebook,
TikTok, maybe?
I mean, we have a TikTok. I don't think we've ever posted a single thing, but I did make one.
We should, probably.
Yeah.
And you can also visit the website, although it's probably how you're listening to this, but doombotspod.com.
Or you can subscribe through iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio.
Podkicker? That's the one I have on my phone for some fucking reason.
Yeah. Like, we're all over the podcast market.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to us through that.
It still blows my mind. Like, I know it's stupid because I know we have a podcast, but the fact that I can listen to our podcast on the thing that I listened to podcasts on before we started making a podcast.
I know. It's really cool.
It's awesome. I love it so much. I get a weird thrill every single time. But anyway, hit us up. And
join us next week when I am going to explain that Wolverine got his name from leprechauns. I mean, it actually kind of explains itself.
No.
End of episode, Wolverine got his name from leprechauns.
That's Sharnold, I don't think you know what the term "it explains itself" means. Not a bit of that is explained.
Let me rephrase it. Leprechauns gave Wolverine his name.
Okay. That's what I thought you meant. I wasn't confused about that part.
That's a complete sentence with
I'm not saying it's meaning. Not, but there's context that needs to be established.
Oh, context. Oh.
Also, I just now realized there are leprechauns in the Marvel Universe that did not occur to me before, although there's everything in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ. Did they also come up with this fucking alter ego Patch? Because if so, those leprechauns are fucking idiots.
He got that one all on his own.
Oh, shocking. Anyway, dear God. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you guys have a great night.
And remember,
random bullshit, go! Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for listening tonight. And, I mean, I don't know if you listened tonight. It might be in the day that you listened or in the afternoon sometime. We recorded it at night. Let me restart that. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Moon Knight.
Episode of Moon Knight? We're going to put that on the DVD commentary for the Moon Knight show. We can totally hear your
sibos. Oh, really?
Sorry, yeah. Oh, yeah, you suck that dick. Suck it dry.
No, it's not a dick.
It's a dick.